What I have to give to you cannot be bought or sold. It can't be wrapped up in a box or tied with strings of gold. It isn't perfect, and you'll see it isn't even new. But Jesus, it's the only treasure I can give to you. Me, my gift is me. All I am and all I'll ever be. I'm not ashamed for the world to see that it's me. My gift is me. Jesus, you're the greatest gift this world will ever know. Coming down from heaven just to live your love below. With all that you have done for me, the least that I can do is give all that I know of me to all I know of you. Me, my gift is me. All I am and all I'll ever be. I'm not ashamed for the world to see that it's me. My gift is me. I'm not ashamed for the world to see that it's me. My gift is me.
Thank you, Brandon. Well, that's a pretty good gift to give back, isn't it? Yeah, and he's worthy every bit of it. Turn to Revelation, if you will, Revelation chapter 20. And I do hope, as Brother Brian Mills said already, that the pastor and Robin is having some restoration time. There's no doubt in my mind they need some with all that they have been through with all this COVID and sickness and not being able to go to the hospitals like you normally do, and just your heart is hurting for somebody there and you want to go and you can't go and you try to keep up with what's going on, and it's just a difficult time. But he also knows that the people are having a difficult time too. Yeah. But if you're a pastor and you're trying to carry the load for 300 or 400, it's a lot different than the other way around. And I've been there, done that, not maybe that many people and so on, but I know our pastor carries a big burden for us. And I appreciate our pastor so very much. I appreciate the music here. And just like Brandon just saying, you know, there's nothing that we can give more to Jesus than us. And what a wonderful, wonderful song. And we're around Christmas time, and that's a good gift to give back. But Paul said, I do that daily. That's a good way to do it, just every day, and then you're not too short on it. But anyway, we just came through Thanksgiving, is that right? I heard the other day that a guy shot a turkey, like to scare everybody to death in the frozen food department. That's about the only way I could have shot one either. But anyway, yeah, that'd wake you up, wouldn't it? But anyway, I know some of you may be interested in regard to the death of Patsy and so on. That's not what we're here for tonight. But I do want to say this. Anytime, this is the way I look at it sometimes. Anytime a woman goes someplace that her husband doesn't go, and she has a good time, and she likes the decorations, and she liked all the food, and she liked all the way the other ladies were dressed at this ladies' meeting and so on. And she comes home, and you're watching about the third quarter of the football game, and you're, you know. And she walks in the door and says, "Wake up, wake up. I got all this I want to tell you. I wake up," you know. That's what's happening about right now. Patsy's taking heaven in. You know, she's really taking it in. Yep. And when I get there, she's going to say, "Now, you just sit down and listen." For about 1,000 years, you know. I don't know if you can have spiritual calloused ears, because flesh and blood don't enter heaven. But if anybody's got a calloused ear, I may have one after I get there for a while. But anyhow, I have no doubt where she's at. And it wasn't because she is worthy to go. Ain't none of us worthy. But there was one that was made her worthy. And Paul, by inspiration, said to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. And I was right there whenever she exited, and so on and so forth. But anyway, I want us to think about tonight. Faith has a fantastic future if you've got your faith in the right thing. And tonight I want to just read a passage of Scripture here that gives the great contrast. And, you know, it's amazing that God writes his whole book and so on and so forth. And, of course, the New Testament and Jesus comes, so on and so forth. And then before he ends the book, though, he gives a great contrast between two eternities. Because I don't think he wants us to miss faith has a fantastic future if you've got it in Jesus Christ. But if you don't have it in Jesus Christ, I want you to know from the Word of God, the Bible says if your name was not found written in the book of life, you're cast in the lake of fire. Now, he also said, "Be ye also ready for in such an hour," not day, not week, not month, not year. Such an hour as you think not. How many times do people say to you sometimes, you know, Jesus could come any time? Is it mentioned very often? Is it mentioned very often from you? In other words, are we looking for him coming at any time? Well, what's our faith in? On every moment of our life, okay? And who's it in? And so on. And it's important. My uncle used to say this as I served as his assistant up in Tumwa, Iowa. "David, you always need to be on praying ground, because you never know when you need to be on praying ground." In other words, you need to be close enough to living, close enough to God, that whenever you want to talk to him, he leans his ear your direction. Now, the only way that happens is if we as Christian people on a daily basis are letting God talk to us through his word, and then we turn around and talk to him. You know, I know that during all this time I've seen the reference of 2 Chronicles 7:14, and, you know, I think, yeah, that's a good verse, but I guess I ask myself this question. You can ask it to yourself if you want to. What are we repenting of? What are we asking God that we need to repent of personally? So we have a power with God, except we repent, we won't get that. So are we asking God, do I need to repent of something so I can be closer to you? But in this passage of Scripture tonight and so on, let's just look at it And it's not going to be an expository message. It's going to be a message that I just want to give you some various illustrations about. Faith does have a fantastic future, and it not only has a fantastic future as far as the end is concerned, it has a fantastic future all the way through. I like what Brother Terry Randolph said recently when he preached here. He said, "We got up every day, my wife and I did, Mickey, we got up every day, and we thought, what kind of adventure are we going to have today with God?" You know, I thought, no, that's pretty good attitude. Yeah. So I kind of like that. But listen to what the Word of God says here, beginning with verse number 10 of Revelation chapter 20. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was no place for them. Let me just stop here, because sometimes people say, well, where'd Patsy go? Well, she went out into eternity. It's almost like saying she went out into cyberspace. No, she went to a place. There's a place. That's what it says here. There's no place was found for them. Then it goes on, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open. Another book was open, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in them, and death and hell were delivered up from the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. Now that's the unsaved, and death and hell were cast to the lake of fire. And this is the second death. I would say something about that, but I got too much that I believe God wants me to say besides describing that. But whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now, that's going through life letting the devil deceive you to believe that you're one day worthy, your good works or something else will get you into heaven. And but the Bible makes it very clear, if your name's not written in the book, and you don't get your name written in the book unless your sins go through the blood. And once they're covered by the blood, you get your name written in the Lamb's book of life. So my point is, this is not a very good ending. You get your faith in self or works or, you know, some other religion or something. So faith in that, you have faith in something, it's an object of some sort, but here that's not very good to say the least. But then we go on to the next chapter, and John says, and he, of course, John, without a doubt, was a believer, and he said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and first earth have passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God. There's the word. God out of heaven prepared the bride as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice. I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, and neither sorrow, no crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he said, and he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write these words, are true and faithful, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst the fountain of water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and the unbelieving, don't forget, he says now, this, you know, this is a wonderful, faith has a fantastic future, but I just don't want you to forget something. But the fearful and unbelieving and violent and murderers, whoremongers and sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So there's two different eternities here very clearly. There's a great contrast between the two. And everybody eyeballs I'm looking at tonight, you're going one way or the other. And the choice is yours. Jesus has put it all out there, and now you've got to make the choice what you're going to do. You say, well, brother, friend, I've already made the choice. That may be true, but what's your faith tonight? If some tragedy struck you tonight, what would your faith be? You know, as my uncle said, it's always good to be on praying ground, because you never know when you need to be on praying ground. If your mom or daddy got injured tonight, how about some of you kids? How would you cry out to God? What's your faith? You say, well, don't be a talk about it. No, I'm not saying anything's going to happen. I'm just saying that what's your faith? Okay? Because we don't know what tomorrow is going to bring forth. Fact is, I don't even know what the rest of the day is going to bring forth. I'll tell you what happened to me on Monday real quick. I was coming out of Pleasant Hope, and a guy run the stop sign going his way, and I T-boned him. Demolished the truck and so on and what have you that I was driving and so on, and they were injured, and I got a bump on the knee. I thought if I got a bump on the head, it probably wouldn't hurt, but it does hurt a little on the knee. But anyway. But you say, was you planning on that? No, I wasn't planning on it. Did you call the pastor and tell him? No, he doesn't have to think about it. I was fine. Do I look like I'm fine? Well, don't. That's enough opinion. But anyway. But my point is, we didn't know what a day would bring forth. My kids are watching over me like, Dad, how you doing? And I'm glad. Here you go. How you doing? No, I'm doing fine. I'm doing fine. Really, I'm doing fine. I'm not lying to you. I'm doing fine. But the point is that I'm trying to make is that if something was to happen that had been a different tragedy already, then what's your prayer life? Okay. Now, Hebrews 11, 1, 2, and 3, most of you can quote it, and I'm going to try. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. And by it, the elders obtained a good report. And through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. Amen. Now, the substance is God's Word, I believe. It has to do with God's Word, but the evidence is the truthfulness of that Word. Right. It's not that, you know, we put everything, we have to sign everything anymore today. Get an attorney and go to, you know, whatever. We got to sign everything. Why? Well, because we ain't got honesty. But nevertheless, my point is that when God says it, that's the way it's going to be. Okay? And so whenever he spoke the world into existence, whatever the case was, then that's exactly what happened. In other words, the worlds were framed by the Word of God, and the things which are seen were not made of things that do appear. So everything had its individual creation, if you will. And it was created just like God wanted. He said, it's good. I could say, it's good for earth, but not good enough for heaven. Yeah. But anyway, when you got God's best, you got all you need. But anyway, my point is that that whenever we think of that, we're thinking that we just take God at his word. Okay? Now, let me give you some for instances, if I can. When we take God at his word, we obey without knowing the details. Okay? How many of you know that with Noah, he didn't see an ark before he built an ark? But how many of you know that God told him he was going to build one? Yeah? 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, and 45 feet high. I'm going to build something like that. Did I say so? Did he do what God said?
Amen.
Did he build an ark?
Amen.
Did he build it for the security of his family? You see, faith sees the invisible,
right.
Believes the incredible,
amen.
And receives the impossible. You remember when blind Bartimaeus saw Jesus? You say, well, now, wait a minute. What do you mean blind Bartimaeus saw Jesus? He saw him with his ears. Remember he said he heard Jesus pass by? Faith cometh by hearing. Yeah. So faith, you see, is something that faith is not just what we believe, it's what we do because of what we believe. Now, I've probably used this illustration, but I like it so well, I'll use it again. For those of you who got a short memory, it helps you. Well, anyway. Faith is what you, is not just what you believe, it's what you do because of what you believe. Okay. A guy stretches a tight wire across the Grand Canyon. You heard that before? Okay. But I've added a little something to that. Now, for some of you that ain't heard it, I'll be very brief about it. But a guy stretches a tight wire across the Grand Canyon, and he uses a wheelbarrow to help him balance. So he goes across it, you know, and he's going across it and what have you. Well, he draws a crowd on the other side. Okay. He gets over there and he says, "How many of you think I can do it again?" "Ah, yeah, you can do it again. I believe you can do it again." "All right." So he turns around and goes back to the other side, you know. The wheelbarrow gets over there and draws another crowd over here. "How many of you think can do it?" "Yeah, you know, there's always one big loudmouth standing in the front, you know." "You think I can do it again?" "Yeah, I believe you can do it again. No doubt in my mind about it." He said, "We'll get in the wheelbarrow." Now, here's what I've added to it. If I got in a wheelbarrow, I'd probably have a white knuckle ride. How many of you know what I'm talking about? But you know, if Jesus got a hold of my wheelbarrow, I could say, "Jesus, about how long is it going to take us to get to the other side?" "Oh, probably about 30 minutes. Well, Ben, you're in control. I believe I'll just take a nap." Your faith rests in him. "Yeah, I believe I'll just take a nap." "I believe you got it all under control." And so, when we see these things and so on, and just like Noah and the ark, and see, he saw the invisible, he believed the incredible and received the impossible. Moses, whenever he come along and he talked to God, and if you remember, many times the Bible says that Moses did as the Lord commanded. In other words, my point about that is they had a regular conversation with one another. They had an intimate walk with each other. In other words, when Moses wanted to say something to God, God was paying attention. Yeah. You've been praying lately and know that God's listening, or are you just praying somewhere out there and you just hope maybe it clings on to his ear somewhere as it goes by? Or do you really know that whenever you praying that something has taken place, something supernatural? There was a man that used to come to Ottumwa Baptist Temple. I don't remember his name, but he'd come and visit about once a year. And my uncle, which is the pastor of the church, would always call on him to have the opening prayer. And whenever he had called on him, the man would wait about 15 seconds before he ever started praying. Now, how many of you know 15 seconds is a little while for total silence in a congregation? I mean, it just is. It gets loud, you know. And you're wondering if the guy even heard him or not. Of course, my uncle knew he heard him. But it's the way he always started his prayers. And he had started something like this. "My dear, holy, precious God, I enter your presence asking you." And then he'd go into a prayer. You say, what are you saying about that? I'm saying he was familiar with prayer. He was familiar who he talked to. He wasn't talking to us like, I mean, he had a reverence to what he was praying. It comes to mind, so I'm going to share it with you. When Patsy was going through what she was going through, and she told me about her piece and so on, And whenever she told me about peace, a lot of red flags went up because I knew she had peace to die. And we was talking one day, and I said, honey, you remember one day a son asked his father, Father, it would be possible if this cup passed from me, but not my will, but thine be done. I said, that's what we've got to pray, because get this now. Don't you ever forget this. God is always right.
Amen.
He's always right. He's never wrong. He's never made a mistake. He has no regrets. He's right every time, anywhere, everywhere, always. God is right. You say, well, I don't understand. Join the club. But we don't have to understand what God does. But we better understand that whatever God does, God took my father the first day of my senior year in high school. I was raised in church, and I used to think, God, why did you do that? You was the breadwinner. He was the breadwinner and everything. We had just a lot of problems, Lord, and don't understand why you took him. And one day, after going down to my dad's grave about 3 months, almost every day, and I'd look up into heaven and say, what? And he said, your dad was a good man. He raised you in church and so on, but he raised you to trust a greater father than he is, and I can take care of you.
Amen.
From that point on, I went up. You see, sometimes God takes us through things by faith to see what our condition is with him. For example, whenever Abraham was going to sacrifice Isaac, okay? Isaac said, Dad, where's the lamb? He said, Abraham said he's invisible, son, you can't see him. But my faith is that God will provide himself a lamb. And he got all the way to the point to raising the knife over his son. Me and my son did that illustration one time when I was in Salisbury, Maryland. The pastor was talking about it, and he said, David, I want you and Matt to dress up, and we're going to put Matt on a bench, and we're going to put wood around him and all that. I had a hunting knife in my hand. That story become a lot more real that night. But Hebrews said that Abraham believed that if he had killed him, God would have raised him from the dead. Faith in God has a fantastic future even in this life. Okay? Some people ask me how I'm doing. I said, I'm making it by the grace of God, and the amazing grace of God still amazes me.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. But I'm just saying that with Abraham and with Noah and with Moses as he went through the Red Sea, I could take you to all these references, like in Exodus 14 where he says, he gets up there and makes speech, and he says, stand still and see the salvation of God. And the waters hadn't even moved. And then God said, take your rod and get to walking. I'll take care of the water. Just walk toward the water. Don't. You don't have to ask me anything else. You'd already said, stand still and see the salvation of God. So take the rod and start walking, Moses. So he did. And he walked through and and then he killed all the enemies. You say, what are you saying? I'm saying faith in God has a fantastic future, even on this land we live. You say, well, he don't always perform the miracles like that. Well, wait a minute now. Who does if he doesn't? A faith on earth has a fantastic future. Now, I haven't got time to go through a lot. That's three Hebrew children in the furnace. And what the king said, did we put this three down in there? They made up their mind. They said, now, we're not going to worship any image, period. You say, well, you just don't tell the king that. Hey, listen to me. We don't know what's going to happen in America in the future. We have got people that's infiltrating our system. And it's sliding toward communism and all that stuff like a grease sliding board. I don't know what my grandchildren have got to go through and my great-grandchildren. But I know one thing. They better hang in there with their faith in God. Because I'm telling you, that's the only hope you've got. Okay. Well, you may not know, but I've lived long enough to know Jesus is the only hope you have. By the way, and it's not you making up your mind, I think I've got a better way. You don't have a better way. Okay. Faith has a fantastic future, but your faith has to be in Jesus Christ. It has to be in the things of God and what have you. And you see here with the Hebrew children, were they protected? Well, sure they was protected. He said, I see four men in the fire. We go to Daniel in regard to the lion's den. Listen, one of these days our country may say, nobody can pray for 30 days. And many Christians say, well, I'll handle that all right. I don't have to pray for 30 days. Really? The Bible said Daniel prayed three times a day just like he'd been doing. Opened up the windows, so on and so forth. Said, hey, I'm still serving the same God. You know? Yep. It's amazing that it kind of seems like the three Hebrew children, Daniel, Noah, and Abraham, and all of them, you know, it kind of seemed like they had a pretty good future. Now, it didn't mean they didn't go through some things in their life. Amen? Sure. But they had a good future. You say, well, how come you think you didn't get hurt on that wreck on Monday? I'll tell you. Because every morning whenever I leave and get in that truck, I ask for the Lord. I said, Lord, now, give me protection today and help me to drive right. You know, keep the obstacles out of the way like the deer. Any obstacle that falls off from an old truck or something, help me dodge it. You say you don't pray that. I do. Now, this is what I also pray to. Help everybody be alert to my driving as well. You say you don't pray that. I do. How many of you know that sometimes you make mistakes too? Yeah. So I just say, Lord, help people be alert to my driving, too. Yeah. Yeah. See, I never got hurt at all, like Patsy and I hit the deer. There's not too many times you can have a car completely demolished and neither you or your wife get a scratch. You see what he's trying to tell us? I'm just trying to tell you, it pays to take time to pray. It takes time to put your faith in somebody that can do a better job of taking care of you than you can. Yeah. And even when you die, COVID, you see the last breath go. You say, thank you, Lord. I can't do anything about it. Hey, are you listening now? I hope you are, because Pastor in this coming year is talking about faith versus fear. And I believe what the message is that God's given me tonight is helping to set maybe that stage a little bit in our minds. I don't know what message and so on he's going to use with the pastor, and that's between him and God Almighty. But I'm just saying tonight that faith has a fantastic future if you keep it in Jesus Christ. But you're going to have a regular talk basis. You're going to have to be on a regular basis whereby you can be with him and talk with him, and he talks back to you and you listen to him. Now, this is an old statement. It says, when you want fresh fire, you better take out yesterday's ashes. Because if the ashes get piled up after a while, you ain't going to have a very big fire. So I want to share with you just some things now that you're aware of, and that's maybe the reason why God had me to bring this message tonight, because most of your Bible known, learned, and so on people. But just like in Mark chapter 5, if you'll remember, the woman with the issue of blood. Now I'm talking about something physical now, on the earth and so on and so forth, to an individual. And I'm just trying to tell you, faith has a fantastic future. And then she had been to the doctors and so on for 12 years and spent all she had and what have you. And she said, but Jesus is coming by, and I just believe if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I could be healed. 12 years. Some of you have had affliction for a time. Okay? 12 years, spent all of her money. But she knew Jesus was different. And she had enough faith that she said, if I could just touch the hem of his garment. Always keep in mind, if you can touch him, he is touching you. Okay? Virtue has passed from me. Who touched me? The disciples said, don't ask me, I don't know. Woman confessed that she's the one that touched him. And you know what he said to her? Thy faith has made thee whole. It's not your doctors, it's not the medicine, it's not something else. It's your faith in me. And during that episode, Jairus had a talk with Jesus about his daughter being sick. She's sick unto death. And then here comes along this woman. And while he's dealing with her, the servant comes and says, your daughter has died. And Jesus says, faith and fear now. Be not afraid. Only believe. You know, I got a sermon I preach on that. I like it. But anyway, I just kind of believe that when a servant come and said, your daughter is dead, and Jesus, of course, hears everything goes on. And he said, oh, be not afraid, only believe. I can just see that servant had already turned and headed back toward Jairus' house. And he says, hey, servant, I just want you to know, you tell Mrs. Jairus there's a promise coming down this dusty road. Amen. Yeah. And then when Jesus got there, you remember what happened? The mourners were all there and everything. They said, well, she died. No, Jesus said, no, she just sleep. Oh, no, she's dead. What's the matter? No, if Jesus said she's asleep, she's just asleep.
Amen.
yeah. It's like Lazarus, see? You say, well, I don't know that he can do that. Patsy's soul and spirit never die. It's alive. Yeah. I still think she's chalking up things. But anyway. And then I said something about blind Bartimaeus. How did he see Jesus? He saw him with his ears. You see, faith believes or sees the invisible and believes the incredible and receives the impossible. And when blind Bartimaeus saw Jesus and he cried out to Jesus, we all know that he believed in his mind. He saw with his ears. He believed in his mind. He received 20/20 vision. By the way, In that story, he didn't ask for a white cane. He didn't ask for a seeing eye dog. He said, what can I do for you? He said, that I might receive my sight. So sometimes when you're going through things, you've got to think about what is your prayer? Are you praying what is right? Are you praying what you believe can really happen? Well, we tried to. But at the same time, you see, Patsy and I never thought, we thought we had a few years left together. Yeah? I said, we thought. Let me encourage you to be nice to each other's husbands and wives or children, parents, parents to children, and so on. Because the day that I went to get tested till the day Patsy passed away was 22 days. Yeah. Don't take it for granted. As a family, you're going to be sitting around each other all the time. Faith. Sees the invisible. Faith believes the incredible. Faith sees the impossible. There are just all kinds of illustrations. And the thing that I guess I want to finish up tonight is this. And that is that, what's your faith tonight? What's your faith's future? And because you don't know what the future is going to be, other than we know that one of these days Jesus is going to come, we don't know the hour, the time, and so on, but the point is we don't even know what's going to happen tomorrow. But I hope that message tonight ain't been dismal, because of the very simple fact, faith with Jesus Christ has a fantastic future. Amen. And it has a fantastic future while you're walking on this earth. So it's not just, well, on this one of these days, whenever I get there, it'll be this wonderful time. No, it can be a wonderful time right here. Amen. Okay? On a Thursday night, I didn't plan on this, and I'll quit my stories. I got a lot of stories. But anyway. On the Thursday night, before Patsy's service on Friday, there was 44 people in my house that were relatives and getting along. Now, many of them are small children, okay, fairly so. But I said, this is what I want us to do tonight. I said, I want every adult or everyone that knows Jesus as their personal Savior, I want you to give your testimony. So we just went clear around the house and so on. And it didn't take too long. I said, now be brief. I don't need a 3-hour sermon like a preacher. But anyway. So they went around, and one of my grand in-laws said this. In Melmington, North Carolina, in that area, they call you Pop Pop and Mom Mom. He said, Pop Pop? I said, what? He said, can I say something else? I said, sure. And I don't say this boastfully. I'm just saying, listen, I'm just saying that faith has a fantastic future. And it has it every day. Amen. And he said, I thought I lived in a good family, but I ain't never seen anything like do you think I know anything about faith has a fantastic future? Hey, that's not the end of the story. I had one of my granddaughter-in-laws come to me, and she was a pastor's daughter, the oldest of the daughters, and she came up to me during that time, and she said, she called me Grandpa. She said, Grandpa, can I talk to you? I said, yeah. She said, well, I've been having problems with my assurance. I ain't got time to go through the story, but whenever we come over here to fellowship after the cemetery and so on, she comes and sit down beside me. She said, I got to tell you something. I said, what's that? Now, she talked to me about that like on Monday or Tuesday. Okay. And I said, what's that? She said, I got it all settled. I got my assurance all settled. Our oldest great grandson, born to our oldest granddaughter, they go to church and so on. If they all saved and so on, they all got it. Hello. Anyway. So anyway, we got over here at the fellowship area, come back from the cemetery, and we come over here. And he said, Papa, can I talk to you? 10 years old. Luke's the name. That's a good name. Bible name. Kind of like David. But so anyway, he said, Papa, can I say something to you? He said, I said, sure, hon. What do you want to say to me? He said, I got saved on the way from the cemetery up to here. I said, he's the oldest great-grandson. We got 24 great-grandchildren. That's a start. I think Faith's about to develop another fantastic creature. But anyway. And I said, Luke, do you realize? I said, do you realize, Luke, that rejoicing it is in heaven over one that asked Jesus to forgive him of her sins. I said, heaven's excited about you getting saved, and my mom's right there. What should you do? Faith has a fantastic future, and if Jesus comes tomorrow or today or tonight, Luke will be heading out too. I didn't mean to bring all them stories in, but I'm just saying that. What's your faith? What's your faith's future? The future is between now and 8:30. What's going to happen between now and then? Do you know? The answer to that is no. I'm just asking what your faith is. You can pray when you're driving. You can memorize scripture when you're driving. You can do a lot of things when you're driving. Of course, you better be driving. You don't shut your eyes and all that kind of stuff, and you better be careful of what you do and all that. But I'm just saying that there's going to be a day that you're going to have to understand that the future of that appointed day will knock on your door. It'd be a real good idea to know what your faith's future is before that day, because you've had a good walk with the one that's got the future in his hand.
Amen.
Yeah. So, tonight, what's your faith's future? Are you ready? Are you prepared? Do you know Jesus as your personal Savior? He paid all the debt, paid for all of our sins. I could say when Patsy got peace, she got peace several times with Jesus. You say, what do you mean, preacher? That's what I mean. She got peace when she realized one time what the wages of her sin was. She got close to death that time. But when she asked Jesus Christ to forgive her of all of her sins, he didn't give her death, he gave her life. Old smut face has come to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly.
Amen.
When the devil comes knocking on your door, you tell him to go home. That's a polite way to tell him where to go. And by the way, he will knock on your door, and you better be sensitive to the fact who's doing the knocking. And if you're walking close to Jesus, the Holy Spirit will make you aware who's doing the knocking. I've got to stop. Do you know him tonight? Do you know that you know him? that granddaughter-in-law, I said to her, I said, I had doubts in my salvation one time, and I asked my uncle, and he said, Dave, we all do sometimes. I got saved when I was 8, and I was about 13 talking to him, and he said, but let me tell you something. You may forget the day, you may forget the month, you may forget the year, but there's one thing you'll never forget is that place that you took Christ, your Savior. And he said, the devil can't run you any farther than that place. When he runs you to that place and you know what you did at that place, it's over. Tell him, go home. It's amazing, just in a few days, she got it settled. Hey, if you don't have it settled tonight, did you know you can get it settled tonight? Yeah, you really can. Patsy said, David, I got peace. Peace about dying. She couldn't cry because if she did, she couldn't breathe. She started to cry, and I said, honey, you can't do that. She said, but David, it was. So sweet. I said, well, that didn't come medicine. That didn't come from the doctor. That didn't come from me. That come from the very throne of God.
Amen.
Do you have that kind of peace tonight? If your future was real short, you can have it tonight. And by the way, faith in Jesus Christ has a fantastic future. Amazing what he may heal, the eyes he may hear, better ears to hear, better legs to walk, better arms to work. It's amazing what he gives you. You just put your trust in him. He's not changed. He's not changed. You say, well, I don't know why I don't do this and that and the other. I don't ask why. I just say, God, help me trust you. Tonight I'm asking you to trust him. Let's all stand, if you will, please.